2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank thee, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help me. Lord, we're going to just share Bible principles. These are very practical things. And Lord, they're absolutely proven. Lord, I know that I've proved these things out in my life. I believe them with all of my heart. I know that they work. I know that they can change a person, transform a person. I'm excited and thankful, Lord, that many years ago, Lord, you allowed me to study and to dig and to discover some things. And Lord, I'm sure that in the process of that, many sermons and many people's input have helped lay the foundation and given me help in this. But Lord, I pray there, Lord, that you'd help us to understand that you have not given us the spirit of fear. If we have the spirit of fear, that didn't come from God. Help us, Lord, to learn to be bold in our witness for Jesus Christ, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us victory. For many in this room, they need victory over the spirit of fear. And I pray that we'd be able to help them, Lord, with the word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If I was going to name these next two lessons that we're going to teach tonight, Wednesday night, I might name it the greatest hindrance to soul winning. The greatest hindrance to soul winning. I have taught this before under the title of Overcoming the Fear Factor. Overcoming the Fear Factor. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And yet, let me say this. Is this true? I don't think there's probably a Christian in here that does not battle, when it comes to soul winning, that spirit of fear. I'm not sure that spirit of fear is not a title. I'm not sure it's not a name. There's a lot of spirits, the Bible says, tells us to try the spirits. Well, there's the Holy Spirit, and then there are spirits. And if you are fighting fear, that did not come from God. God does not want us, when it comes to sharing the gospel, to be bound, to be limited, to be tied up, to be muted by a spirit of fear. And so I believe that the Bible has the answer. If you want to, and by the way, if this is the title of some spirit, if this is a demonic presence, if this is a demonic oppression that overcomes Christians, let me just say this. The fastest way to put the devil on the run is through the Word of God. Jesus taught us that. Bible principle scares the devil out of the devil. I mean, it does. It just does. And so I want to share with you a little bit. Let me just first of all start with a personal testimony. I think one of the things that I had to face early on in my Christian life as God began to deal with my heart and prepare me to serve Him was the fact that in a lot of areas I fought a spirit of fear when it came to witnessing. You know, it's amazing. I could go up to anybody. I was kind of a people's person as far as I didn't have a lot of trouble talking to people as a general rule. But when it came to sharing the gospel, my goodness sakes, it seems like when I just try to begin to open my mouth and talk, I would literally be gripped by a spirit of fear. I remember being very frustrated by this. See, I was torn. There was two things that was going on in my life. First of all, God was burdening my heart for the lost and putting inside of me a desire to win people to Christ. So that's one part of what's going on inside of me. And the other part is this spirit of fearfulness, that I was just afraid and so afraid of what people's reaction would be and so afraid of I don't even know what I was afraid of half of the time. But you know what? Your fear can build something up to be much more frightful than it honestly is. Have you ever been scared to death to do something and after you do it the first time you think, why was I afraid to do that? You know, and it kind of becomes like that, where the fear is bigger than even the reality of what you're trying to accomplish. I remember being so limited, and I felt like I was held back in so many areas of being effective for the Lord because of this spirit of fear that just possessed me. I remember reading 2 Timothy 1:7 and realizing this did not come from God. God's Spirit provides power. God's Spirit provides love. God's Spirit provides a sound mind. But the spirit of fear robs you of power. It diminishes your love, taints your love, and it confuses your mind. And so fear is a horrible thing, and it can overtake a Christian. Have you ever been at the workplace, gentlemen, and you know that you ought to, and God's opened a door of opportunity for you to witness to somebody, and for whatever reason, I mean, it's like you can't, you're so scared. Hey, what are you so scared of? What are you so scared of? I'm not belittling you. I'm just saying sometimes we need to really face this thing. Where is this unreasonable fear coming from? Is this from God? No, we know that. Is it from Satan? Yes, he wants to make you begin to believe that just the sharing of the gospel and trying to do so, some catastrophe is going to happen. You know, is the guy going to pull a gun out and blow you away? Is he going to pick up a ball bat and beat you to death? It's just amazing. It's honestly an unreasonable fear when it comes sometimes to the sharing of the gospel. Again, I'm not belittling it because I lived it. I know how powerful it can be. But I remember getting to a point in my Christian life where I said, you know what, Lord, I've got to be delivered from this spirit of fear. How can I win men to Christ? How can I win people to Christ if I am possessed and held back and oppressed by this spirit of fear? And so I was decided one day, and I'm sure that somebody or something that was said in some sermon or maybe something someone said to me, some advice prompted this. I can't remember everything. But I remember sitting down and saying to myself, I need to overcome this, and I believe that the Bible, hey, we say this a lot, but let me say it's true, the Bible does have the answer to our problems. It really, really does. And so I took a concordance. I've been teaching our adult Sunday school class how to do personal Bible studies. I could probably find the notebook that I originally did this study in, but I decided that I was going to take the word bold and boldness and boldly, and I was going to find every place in the Bible where that was used, and I was going to gather together Bible principles and learn why others and how others were so bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to share 6 of those principles tonight. I'll do so in a timely fashion. I'm going to finish it out and give you 6 probably on Wednesday night. And I didn't just study this. It isn't just a cute Bible study, so a preacher has information or material to preach 2 more messages. This was a deliverance for me. I took these 12 things that I'm going to teach you, and I began to implement them into my life. And I will tell you this, in a very short amount of time, I could witness, and I could do things that I couldn't do before, and I could preach in a manner that I couldn't preach before, and I could talk to people in a manner I couldn't talk to them before. And all it is just being obedient to the principles of God's Word and finding out that they do have transforming power in our life. So let me give you some of these things, and I believe if you'll do these things, that you can be delivered from this spirit of fear. You can overcome this fear factor, this greatest of all hindrances, I believe, to soul winning. John chapter number 7, let's go there. John chapter number 7. As I begin to chase this word bold and boldly and boldness through the Bible, one of the first things that I found was in John chapter number 7, and it helped me tremendously. John chapter number 7, if you'll turn there, here we see in verse 14, I'm not going to read for sake of time all of this portion of Scripture, but Jesus is back in Jerusalem. He's at the Feast of the Tabernacles. He's publicly preaching, publicly performing miracles, The reaction in verse number 25 says this, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem," chapter 7, verse 25, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" Let me just give you a principle of life that has been probably the most important Bible principle that I've adopted in my life. And I'm just going to give you this above all of the things. If you ask the young people that was in our youth group here while I was the youth pastor, and you said, "What would Brother Jerry say more than almost any other thing?" I would say the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. If I could just get you to believe that one thing and just decide that, you know what, I'm going to study the life of Christ and I'm going to pattern my life after the life of Christ. One of the things you'll find by studying Christ is this. Would you agree? He was no coward. You can say whatever else you want to say, but he was no coward. And you know what? Jesus, when he ministered, when he preached, when he spoke, he did so with authority. It marveled that the Pharisees marveled at that he spoke with authority. Here they say, "And lo, he speaketh boldly." And folks, this was not bold speech in a situation where it was being well received. This is in an environment where it was well known, even amongst the common man, that they were out to kill Jesus Christ, and yet he marches into Jerusalem, stands up, and proclaims again the good news, proclaims again the message that he was sent to deliver. Jesus was bold. Now here's principle number one. You need to adopt the ultimate goal of the Christian life, and that is to be like Jesus. I remember one of the first things that helped me was this. I realized that I couldn't excuse this away. I couldn't say, "Well, it's just not my personality." I couldn't say, "Well, some people are just bold and some aren't, and I just happen to be the aren't." I couldn't say those things. What I had to face was this. My ultimate goal, according to this book, was to become like Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ was bold, then I needed to become bold, because you know what? I could never claim Christ's likeness unless I learned to be bold for the Lord. And so, number one, adopt the ultimate goal of the Christian life. You know what that's going to do? That's going to make you throw your excuses away. Your ultimate goal as a Christian is to be like Jesus. Jesus was bold. You can't claim Christ's likeness until you learn boldness. So decide to throw your personality excuses in the trash can. But it's harder for me. Okay, granted, it is harder for some people than others, but we're still supposed to be bold. We're still not to be committed not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? If Christ was bold, Jerry Roth is supposed to be bold. And so adopt that as a principle of your life. Now, closely connected with that, let me give you number two. First, let's go over to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Number one, adopt the ultimate goal of the Christian life, and that is to be like Jesus. Let me say this. Everything I'm going to give you today, I'm going to give you eventually in printed form. So I will. You'll get all of this in printed form. Not everything I say, of course, but the major points and some explanation. Acts chapter number 4, and if you'll notice, again, I won't read a lot of the context on these verses because we need to keep moving tonight, but Acts chapter number 4, if you'll look, in verse number 13, it says this, Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the what? Boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. I remember when I read that, I said, thank you God, amen. Thank God that boldness isn't connected with high intelligence. I mean it, most of you would be in trouble. I know your preacher would be in trouble. You know what? An average guy with an average education can still learn to be bold for the Lord Jesus Christ and can still have an incredible impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me start reading again. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, point number one, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Adopt that philosophy. Number two, if you're going to learn boldness, if you're going to have boldness, you need to spend time every day with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just not talking about having devotions. I'm just not talking about reading your Bible and praying. I'm talking about walking with Jesus Christ. Listen, I believe it's important that you acquaint yourself very well with the four Gospels. You ever think about the way that God chose to put the Bible together? Four books at the beginning of the New Testament. Four different men were inspired of God to write an account of Jesus Christ from the time that he was here on earth and walked here on earth. I believe if you have a problem with boldness, which all of us, I think, do, it would behoove you well to spend a lot of time in the Gospels. I believe that you need to spend time with Jesus Christ. You need to spend time with him. Now, what does that mean? That means you ought to read a portion of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I believe you ought to do that if you're struggling with this every day. When I begin to tackle this problem, I said, I am going to walk with Jesus like Peter and John walked with Jesus. I'm going to become that 13th disciple. I'm going to read and reread and reread the Gospels. I'm going to examine everything Jesus did. I'm going to listen to everything he said. I'm going to say, why did he say that? Why did he do that? I'm going to learn him. I'm going to be around him. I'm going to, everything I learn about him and hear and see him do, I'm going to take notes on. Listen, you will learn more about boldness by studying the life of Jesus Christ than almost anything else you can do. Now, there's just something about being around and being intimately acquainted with a bold Savior that makes you want to be a bold Christian. And I mean that. I believe just like Peter and John, soon people will begin to notice a difference in you. And you know what that difference will be? Boldness. And you know what they'll have to attribute that to? They are bold. He is bold because he is spending time with Jesus Christ. So, practical things. Number one, throw your excuses away. Nope, God didn't give you a pass. The goal of your life is to be like Christ. If you're going to be Christ-like, you've got to learn to be bold. Number two, spend time every day studying Jesus Christ. Walk with him, study the Gospels, think about what he did, walk beside him, and you'll be surprised how that process begins to change your life. Now, again, it's amazing how much of this revolves around Jesus Christ. John chapter number 19. Let's go and I'll give you number 3. John chapter number 19. We're learning how to be bold for the Lord. We're learning how to be bold for the Lord. John chapter number 19, if you will. It's a fascinating portion of Scripture here in verse number 38, verse number 39. I want to read this to you. John chapter number 19 and verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Now, I'm reading this on purpose, and I'm talking about these two men for a reason. Now, let me read to you, please. I'll read this to you, Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Mark writes this, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Which is true? Both is true. I thought it said in John that he was a secret disciple. He was. He had been up to this point a secret disciple, which means he believed in Christ and had accepted Christ and even was a follower of Christ, but he was too scared to do it publicly. Then you have Nicodemus that also was kind of a closet disciple. He'd go to Jesus, but he'd go during the nighttime. He was in the Sanhedrin, but he was afraid to speak up publicly for Christ and in defense of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Here are two Christians saved, disciples, but they are struggling with being publicly bold for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What happened? What did they just see? What did they just observe that changed them so drastically that they both marched in for the first time in a very public forum, in a very public manner, declared themselves disciples, asked for the body of Christ, and publicly and forever associated themselves with Jesus Christ? What did they just see? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe this with all my heart. I can testify that this is true. If you have trouble with boldness, you know what? You need to spend more time at Calvary. And what do you mean? I mean literally. You ought to have marked in your Bible Matthew's account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Mark's account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Luke and John's accounts of the crucifixion, mark them, and day after day after day, read them one after another, and you stand there in the presence of Christ, and you read it till you can see it. You know, I thought about this, and Brother Johnny, you'll appreciate this, but I surrendered. You know, I talk about the conference we went to when I was a teenager, where before I was ever called to preach, I'd surrendered my life to be a full-time soul winner, to spend my life trying to win men and people to Jesus Christ. Do you know what message God used to prompt that decision in my life? Well, it was probably a message on soul winning. No, it wasn't. It was Ron Comfort getting up and preaching on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, up to that point in my life, and I'd heard wonderful messages, good messages on the crucifixion. And maybe it was just because my heart was prepared to hear it that night, but I'll tell you this, I have never had a man with words take me to the base of the cross and allow me to watch all that Jesus suffered on that cross like I did that night in that service. And isn't it interesting that after I clearly and personally saw the crucifixion of Christ, I said to myself, never, never again, never again. I don't care what I have to do to change myself, never again am I going to be ashamed of what He did on that cross for me. I'm going to spend my life telling people what He did on that cross, what He suffered on that cross, what He went through on that cross. And I'm going to tell you, that was a turning point in my life. What happened? I watched Jesus die. I mean, I watched Him die. Now, I believe this. Here's two closet Christians. Here's two men. And you know what? They were believers, they were disciples, and they had the want to, but you know what? They were scared. But when this happened, when they sat there and watched Jesus, when they heard everything that He said and watched everything that He did, and when they finally seen Him give up the ghost and say, "It is finished," you know what? It transformed them and changed them. And you know what? They came out publicly as believers. They wanted to be the ones that buried Him. They associated themselves with Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that we don't spend enough time around the cross. We need to spend much, much more time as Christians around the cross. You know what the crucifixion will do? The crucifixion, please listen to me, will strip you of every excuse that you have for not being a witness. I mean, if you'll spend time in the Scriptures, in the crucifixion story, and read it until you see it, and see it until you experience it, like you're there, you know what? You'll walk away from that experience changed forever. So I believe if you are hindered by a spirit of fear, isn't it amazing how so much of our deliverance revolves around the person of Jesus Christ? Decide that you're going to be like Jesus. Spend time every day studying Jesus, walking with Jesus, learning Jesus, and then go to all four accounts of the crucifixion, become an eyewitness to what transpired on Golgotha's Hill, do it often, do it repeatedly, watch His courage, watch the courage with which Jesus gave His life, and listen, if you'll do that, He will in return, I believe, give you courage to tell what you saw. Isn't that good? Now let's go to Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter number 28. Now remember what I taught in our Sunday school class this morning, and we even mentioned it again this morning. Folks, listen to me. It does no good to take notes. It does no good to learn with your mind Bible principles. It is only going to change you when you implement them. Are you serious that you want to overcome the fear factor? Are you serious? Are you tired of being a wimpy Christian? Are you tired of being bound by a spirit of fear? Well, you know what? You can be delivered by that, but it's going to mean that you're going to have to take this thing seriously, and you're going to have to exercise some things and do some things and get into the Word of God and let it change you. Proverbs chapter 28, please look at verse number 1, a powerful verse. And I believe one of the real key Bible principles to help me become delivered from the spirit of fear. Proverbs 28:1 says this, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Bold as a lion. Don't miss what I'm about to say next. Unconfessed, habitual sin will make any Christian into a coward. Unconfessed, habitual sin will make any Christian into a coward. The Bible says here, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know what? If you've got wickedness in your life, you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you've got habitual sin in your life, secret sin in your life, and you're hiding it, I'm telling you right now, you know what? When it comes to being a bold witness, you are going to flee even when no man chases you. You're going to have no courage whatsoever. But notice this. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Let me give you number four. Purge your life of sinful, wicked habits. We're going to find out how bad you want to be a witness. You know what? If you're going to be bold, I just wish I was like Brother So-and-so, just naturally courageous. It has nothing to do with it. We either do the right things and we live the right way, and therefore the byproduct is boldness, or we don't. And one of the things that I believe probably rob more people, rob more Christians of the courage that they need is the fact that we want to harbor some habitual sin in our life. It's our little pet sin. We get it out. We stroke it. We pet it. When the preacher preaches against it, we get mad at him and are convinced he's just personally after us. We've made excuse after excuse after excuse, but it's robbing you of courage. It's robbing you of courage. It's robbing you of courage. You know, when you're right, you can be bold in being right. And when you're wrong, it's hard to be bold because you know you're wrong. And you know what? God took me to this verse and said, "Are you serious? Do you want the boldness that was exhibited by the Christians in the book of Acts? Are you serious? Do you want to be bold like my son? You say you do. Are you serious?" And I said, "Well, yes, Lord." And I thought I was. And then the Holy Spirit's finger began to point and point and point at things in my life and point at things in my life and point at things in my life. And you know what he was saying, basically? He was saying, "You want sin or you want courage?" Folks, listen to me. A dirty Christian's not a bold Christian. You say, "Brother Gary, it's impossible for me to be righteous." That's not true. You can be righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins, to forgive us our sins, and cleanse us of all." Brother, you know what I decided? I decided if I'm gonna be effective, I've got to be willing to say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me," and not dodge it, not excuse it. That means I got rid of things I should have got rid of. I stopped making excuses I shouldn't have been making. I got rid of habits. Asked God to help me overcome habits I needed to overcome. Listen to me. Until you take these things seriously, you know what? Crunch time. You have the opportunity. The door's open. And you can't figure out why you can't open your mouth. And the honest reason is this is probably the primary reason. Unconfessed sin. What is that sin costing lost people around you? Is that sin worth somebody burning forever in eternity because it's holding you back from being the witness you ought to be? Is it worth it? When you get to the judgment seat, are you going to be able to say, "God, I know, you know what, for the most part I was a pretty good Christian, but these couple things I just couldn't give up"? And have the Lord explain to you the number of people that would have been saved and could have been saved had you not harbored that sin in your life? This is serious stuff. And I believe that this is a key. Unconfessed habitual sin will make any Christian a coward. Don't be a stranger to the church altar. Stay right with God. Stay right with your parents. Stay right with those around you. Confession provides us with forgiveness and cleansing. It also provides us with the courage of a lion. The boldness of a lion. And what I found out is the more that I begin to purge my life and get rid of sinful habits and remove excuses, that when I would go out and begin to witness for Christ, the boldness would build and build and build in my life. And to this day, if I find myself struggling with having the courage to speak out, usually if I'll do some self-examination and ask for God to help me, it's because something's crept in. Something's crept in. Are you listening? Are you with me? Isn't this good? That's number four. Purge your life of sinful, wicked habits. Let's go to Acts chapter number four. Acts chapter number four. Here's some things to consider. We need bold Christians. We need bold Christians. We need bold young people to stand up for Christ. You know, it's going to be a little hard at work to... Are you listening? It's going to be a little hard to witness to that co-laborer if he sees you, the can of Skull you carry on your pocket. Sorry. It's going to be a little hard to witness that next-door neighbor on Tuesday, ma'am, if on Monday you were on the phone gossiping with her. Well, what I'm saying is sin binds us. Sin makes a coward out of us. All right, Acts chapter 4, are you there? Acts chapter 4. Let me read this to you. What a wonderful thing. Acts chapter number 4. Verse number 29 says this, Acts 4 and verse number 29, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Now let me share what's going on here. I kind of plucked a verse out of context. Can we back up? Peter and John had just been accosted for preaching the gospel. They'd been threatened. And they were let go. In verse 23 it says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is." Can I tell you where verse 29 finds its home? It finds its home in the middle of an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Let me give you this. If you're going to have courage and have boldness, then you ought to specifically ask God for boldness on a regular basis. Pray for the ability to speak the Word of God with boldness. This was their prayer, verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Let me give you this. Just take a second. It's a very simple point. But on your personal prayer list, somebody once asked me, is it wrong to pray for yourself? I hope not. Because I've done a lot of wasting of my time. I don't think there's... No. I think it's wrong to ask God for selfish things, for selfish reasons. But we have not. We have not because we ask not. Why don't you have boldness? Is it on your prayer list? Do you constantly and consistently pray and ask God to give you boldness and to give you the ability to speak the Word of God with boldness? Now, so what are you saying, preacher? Well, I begin to implement these things in my life. I begin to say, you know what? More than anything else or being like anybody else, I want to be like Jesus. And if I spend enough time around Him, His boldness is going to rub off on me. And by the way, something happened to those men that were at the crucifixion, so I'm going to read those accounts and read those accounts until it happens to me. And you know what? In the process of that, I'm going to ask God to search my life, and I'm going to get rid of some things that have been gumming up my life spiritually for way too long. And I'm going to begin every day, as a part of my prayer routine many times a day, to ask God and beg God to give me Holy Spirit boldness to speak the Word of God courageously when He opens the door and I have the opportunity. Now you begin to do these things and you're going to begin to experience a transformation. Close to the top of your prayer list should be the word boldness. Write it in big, bold letters. Boldness. Ask God for it daily. Let me give you number six. This will be the last one that we cover. We're talking about the prayer, this matter of prayer and the importance of prayer. Yes, you should pray and ask God yourself that He would give you boldness. But let me share something in Ephesians chapter number 6. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 6. I'm By the way, you can't do these things for a couple years in your life and then 20 years later still have the boldness you had when you were doing those things. This isn't something that you do until it sticks. This is something, things you do until Jesus comes. If you were at one time bold and you're no longer bold, if you begin to implement these things, you can become bold again for Christ. And so let me give you the last one that we'll cover tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse number 18. We, of course, this is at the end of the description of the armor of God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice this. Paul said, you need to pray. You need to pray. And then he says this in verse 19, and for me. Now, he's trying to get these group of people to pray. So while he's trying to get them to pray, he says, now I want you to put in a prayer request for Brother Paul. And this is what he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, Paul writes publicly in an open letter to an entire congregation of believers, please, I need every one of you praying for me, not generally, but specifically. And this is what I need you to pray. And he says very specifically what he's asking them to pray. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, don't miss this. Is it important to pray and ask God that He give you boldness? Yes. But let me tell you something that I learned and I did, and I believe it was one of the reasons that I was helped and got the speed of help that I got, was Paul was not afraid to enlist prayer warriors. Enlist some prayer warriors and ask them to pray specifically for you to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Now, when I studied this and I was trying to overcome these things and I had this burning desire for the first time in my life to really courageously carry forth the gospel and get in the fight for souls, and I realized that listen folks, you know how you fight a spiritual warfare? With spiritual weapons. That's what this whole section is about, the armor of God. You know what this is, this whole fear thing? It's a spiritual battle. It's not a personality. It's a spiritual battle. And I went and I enlisted some people that I believed with all my heart were prayer warriors. And I went to them and said something like this, I come to you because I personally want to ask you to pray for me. Most of them immediately said, Brother Jerry, I already prayed for you. I said, no, I need to ask you to specifically pray for me in one area and not let up. And I got some old silver saints, silver-haired saints of God. I mean that, you know what? They spend a lot of time at the throne of grace. They just know how to get to God. And I said, when you stand before God in prayer, would you please call out my name and will you ask God that He give me boldness to speak forth the gospel? And I'm going to tell you, I got a group of people, support team around me praying for boldness. By the way, I'd still like to have that support team. I need boldness in this pulpit. I need boldness in leading this church. I need boldness to stand for the right things and keep standing for the right things. I need Bethel Baptist Church members. I'll just join Paul here and say, I'd like to ask the whole congregation, before you go and list each other, just put your preacher on that list too and say, Lord, take care of my preacher. Pray whatever you want to pray as the Lord leads you, but don't leave out this. God, make him bold to speak out the Word of God. Give him boldness. Give him Holy Spirit boldness. Now, we've covered six things. This is the beginning. This is a starting place. These things will begin to change you and transform you. You know why? Because they're Bible principles, and any time you implement Bible principles in your life, a transformation begins to take place. And you know what? God wants to make you the kind of bold witness, I mean to the point where you shock yourself at times. Wow, where'd that come from? That's not me. Well, let me say this with all kindness, that I came to a conclusion early in my Christian life that, you know what, I wasn't much good to God being me. I just wasn't being much good to God being me. So what I asked is for God to help me to be like His Son. And God began to change some things. I'll share a little bit more of my testimony. And I'm not the bravest. I'm not the most courageous to this day. I still have to constantly implement these things to keep that level of boldness that I ought to have in my life. I can't let up. You know why? Because there's something that if you plug into it, it works. And if you unplug it and hit the on switch, it doesn't work. And what we need to do is plug into the principles of God's Word and let that begin to change us. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, dear God, for boldness. I will ask for it for me. I will ask for it for these people. Lord, I remember the feeling I'll never forget, Lord, as I begin to grow in this area of boldness, the satisfaction of being able to face the lost and face hard situations and speak up boldly for Christ. Lord, it was worth everything that You asked. And I pray, Lord, that You would turn loose on this community some Christians who are not just Christians inside the wall of a church house, but will walk out in every phase of their life, both with lip and life, they would be bold in their presentation of who Jesus Christ is. Lord, honestly, this is not a problem that just a small segment of Christians face. The vast, vast, vast majority of Christians face this, and Lord, with Your help, can face this thing down in their life. So I pray that You'd help us.